Would like to ask you, if you will, please, tonight, to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. I would like to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I encourage you to look in the Word of God as we try to read and study, and pray that God will help us as we hear the Word of God, as we look at the Word of God, that God's Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in our lives. There are many, many times in the Word of God, the Scriptures talk about fiery trials that we have to go through. Fiery trials. And there are some of you that are going through very, very difficult times right now. All of us have to go through times that are difficult on occasions. And there are all different kinds of problems that we can have in life. Satan can attack us in one way after another. Job, I think, more than anyone in one day, other than Jesus Christ, Job went through a lot of fiery trials. In one day, he lost everything he had, all of his material possessions. All 10 of his children died. Can you imagine that? We say it so often, but we just kind of sweep through it like, you know, he lost all of his camel. He lost all of his asses. He lost all of this. All 10 of his children died. And I think sometimes we read through that, and if any one of those things happened to us in our lives today, I think that we would just be devastated. And yet Job, in losing all that he lost, and then after his children had died, and then he had boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, the pain that he went through, the suffering that he went through. No one wanted to look at him because of the horrible condition of his skin with those boils all over his body. And his wife then turned and said, "Curse God and die." Now, I'm thankful that in my life, that in spite of all the different kinds of physical problems that I've had, I thank the Lord that my wife has never given up. You know, she sat by my bed weeks at a time in the hospital in Columbus when I was critically ill there in a coma, just day and night, weeks at a time. All through my life, she has stood by my side, and I have never, ever felt like that she wanted to give up. Never wanted me to give up. But Job's wife just said, "Curse God and die." Oh, Job went through some hard times. And some of you are going through difficult times worse than what I've ever been through in my life. And without God's help, did you know you can't face the problems and troubles of life? God has given us faith, and without faith, you can't go through the fiery trials of life. It takes faith in God, confidence in God. When you go through difficult times, we sometimes sing that song, "My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine." We need to exercise our faith in trusting in God. Because that's what all the trials of life are. They are trials of our faith. And if you want proof every day of what tomorrow is going to be, that's not faith. Don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for me or you or anyone else. But when your confidence is in God, even though you don't know what the future holds, if your confidence is in God and your faith is strong, then I believe you can be happy every day of your life in spite of all the troubles and problems of life. Someone sent me an email. It may have been Brother Ken. He sends me a lot of emails. And you think about strong faith. Sister Nina Think about her going through the treatments for cancer, and Sister Valerie and Sister Michelle going for surgery Thursday, and all the different ones in the church that are sick physically. And he sent me an email, or somebody sent me an email this week that was talking about a lady that had cancer and how strong in faith that she was. Did you know when a person is strong in faith, they have a good attitude no matter what's happening in their lives? Isn't that amazing? Their attitude is good, they're strong, they're upbeat. And I'm not talking about a false, fake upbeat. I'm talking about that they have committed their lives to God. They know that God loves them. They know that God cares. And no matter what the outcome is, they know it's going to be all right. Now that's what faith is. And whoever it was that sent me this email this week was talking about this woman that was so strong in faith. And she got cancer, and she was very, very sick with cancer. And she began to get treatments for cancer, began to get chemotherapy and radiation and all the different treatments that they were doing. And she began to lose her hair, but she never lost her smile. And she stayed with a good attitude. Now, her faith was in God. Her faith was not in the medicine or the doctor. She wasn't sure that she was going to get well, but her faith and her confidence was in God. In the midst of that fiery trial, her faith was in God. And she got down to the point where she only had 3 hairs left on her head. Just 3 hairs. And she looked in the mirror and she said, "I believe I'll braid my hair today." Now that's a good attitude, isn't it? To be down to 3 hairs and say, "I believe I'll braid my hair today." And so she did, and she was happy that day. And the next day she got up, and she only had 2 hairs left on her head. And she looked in the mirror, and she said, "You know, I believe today I'll part my hair down the middle." And so then she did that, had a good attitude that day. Next day she got up, she only had 1 hair left. And she said, "I believe I'll put my hair in a ponytail today." And so she put that 1 strand of hair towards the back. The next day she got up, and she was completely bald. And she said, "You know, it's wonderful. I don't have to fix my hair today." Now, that's faith, isn't it? Confidence in God. That, you know, that here's the devil just pounding away. And things that ought to make you discouraged and despondent, that you just keep going forward with your confidence in God. And when your faith is strong, I believe that you can be rejoicing even in the midst of all of your troubles. When Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him," I find great joy in those words. Job's faith was being tried. Job's faith was strong. Job was not a man of little faith. He was a man of great faith. His confidence was in God. Satan just brought one thing after another in his life, and yet he continued to trust in God. That songwriter that says, "I trust in God no matter come what may." Now, brethren, that songwriter and many of the songs we've sung tonight, I've just rejoiced in every one of the songs tonight. Because they have spoken to my heart about the faith that God's people ought to have no matter what happens in their lives. Listen now to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen, please, first to verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, let me back up to verse 3. Because Peter begins to praise God, and Peter's faith was being tried right here. Peter knew about a trial of his faith. Now, I know earlier in his life that his faith had gotten weak, but right now Peter's faith is strong. He has grown and he has matured and he's able to face troubles and temptations and trials of his faith. He's much stronger here than he was when he was walking around with Jesus still on the earth, when Jesus was still here. Peter's faith right here is very strong. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. "In spite of all the trials and tribulations and temptations and trials of his faith that he's going through," he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, my faith is strong. I feel good because Jesus is risen from the dead. Now this was 30 years after Jesus had risen from the dead, but He's still rejoicing because He's saying, I serve a risen Savior. Jesus is alive today, and so I have a lively hope. I know that my Savior, I know that my elder brother, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And so He says, blessed be God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, after He talks about Jesus being raised from the dead, He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, are you always rejoicing, or are you sometimes in heaviness? Isn't that what He's saying here? He's saying, I rejoice, and yet, He says, there are some times that I'm in heaviness. Do you see that expression there in verse 6? He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The temptations and the troubles and the problems of life, sometimes they cause us to feel like we're carrying a heavy load. And that's what Peter said that the saints of God were going through. And he says, they're having these manifold temptations. Verse 7 says, that the trial of your faith, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. What is it that's more precious than gold that perisheth? What is, according to 1 Peter 1:7, what is it that is more precious than gold that perisheth? It's not the trial, I don't believe, it's the faith. Faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. I'd rather have faith in God than all the gold and silver in the world. I've watched people that were extremely rich that had very little faith. And when their troubles came, I've heard them say, I'd give everything I have if I could just find some peace in my soul. Well, a child of God that's close to God and is strong in faith, they can have some peace in their soul no matter what the manifold temptations are, no matter how heavy the problems get. They still can have peace in their soul and joy in their heart. So he says that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with what? Though it be tried with fire. That expression of fire seems to be the most extreme way that we have in the English language to talk about something that's going to really create trouble in your life. It's fire. Through the fiery trials, it's an expression. Is it a literal fire? Is that what he's talking about here, the fiery trials? Is that what Peter is talking about, a literal fire? Is Peter talking about that you're going to have to go through something like Daniel did, or like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were cast into that burning, fiery furnace? Is that the same thing? It's not the same thing. I don't believe that the fiery trials of life are talking about going through a literal fire most of the time, though sometimes there have been people that have been literally burned and it was a fiery trial. Most of the time, the fiery trials that we have are not a literal fire, and yet they're just as painful as a literal fire. In fact, I would say that there are fiery trials that sometimes come into the lives of the people of God that are more painful than a literal fire. And Peter says, the trial of your faith, the fiery trials that come in our lives, if you respond to those fiery trials in the right way, you bring glory and honor to God. Listen to that expression. After he talks about the fiery trial in verse 7, that might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, brethren, that salvation of your soul in verse 9 is not talking about eternal salvation, but it's talking about the fact that while you're going through fiery trials, if you keep trusting in God and looking to God, then your faith is strong. And what is the end of your faith being strong? It's the salvation of your soul, not eternal salvation, but the deliverance of your soul from that fiery trial. Was Job, when he went through those fiery trials in his life, was his faith strong in God? And did he endure those fiery trials? And was he finally saved because of his faith? His soul was saved because of his faith. We need to endure to the end. We need to believe in God. We need to trust in God. We need to pray that God will help us, that God will give us the strength and the grace that we need. We need to pray, God, help my faith to be what it ought to be when we face the troubles and problems of life. 1 Peter chapter 4. Go further in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. He continues in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Peter continues to talk about the fiery trials. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the what? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Is it a strange thing when fiery trials come in your life? Does it seem strange? Do you ever feel like that nobody has ever gone through what you're going through when you're going through fiery trials? Certainly you feel that way. I felt that way and you felt that way sometimes. But when we back up and think about it, we know that the fiery trials that we're going through, that other children of God have gone through those fiery trials. And so it is that Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Are you going to have fiery trials? If you're a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, trying to walk by faith and trying to serve God, you will have fiery trials. It will try you. Don't think it strange concerning those fiery trials, which is that fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not a strange thing. The fiery trials that we go through today, God's people, there are many of God's children that are going through the same kinds of things right now in their lives. And then he says in verse 13, after he tells us not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, in verse 13 he says, But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Brethren, the people of God can have joy after they have gone through the fiery trial and they have confidence in God and their faith has been strong in God, they will experience a great deliverance from God. And God is glorified. Have you ever seen anybody that went through a fiery trial that their faith was strong all the way? Have you ever watched somebody that their faith was strong all the way through a fiery trial? Did you give glory to God when you watched them as they were going through those fiery trials? Did you give glory to God for the faith and the faithfulness of those individuals that you've seen go through fiery trials? Does it strengthen your faith when you see people of God that are going through fiery trials and they are trusting in God? Does it strengthen your faith? Do you find sometimes that people that are going through fiery trials, instead of getting further away from God, they get closer and closer to God? Fiery trials usually bring the people of God closer to God instead of driving them further away from God. The more troubles and the problems and trials and tribulations that we have in our lives, therefore our good and our faith and our confidence in God grows stronger when we can feel God wrapping His arms of love around about us, and God's strength lifting us up in the midst of those fiery trials, and we know that we're not going in our own strength, but rather it's the power of God carrying us through. That gives us confidence in God. It strengthens our faith. If you've gone through some fiery trials, you know from experience that going through those fiery trials makes you know God is real. And without God's help, we cannot go on. You can't. You cannot face the fiery trials of life without the help of God. But what can you say? Like Peter, when he said in 1 Peter 1:3, he said, "Blessed be God, praise the Lord, for He has helped me in every fiery trial that I've gone through." He's helped you in every fiery trial that you've gone through. Go with me, please, back just a moment to I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Word of God here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about how that we labor, we work, we try to serve the Lord. Did you know there is a theology in the world today that teaches that if you begin to follow Christ and if you'll accept Christ as your personal Savior, then God will just bless you and you'll be rich and you won't be sick. That theology, I meet together sometimes with preachers and that's their theology. They believe that if you just believe in God, you won't get sick. Now I watch them get sick. I watch them go to the hospital. I watch them go through problems and troubles. But sometimes they just keep on saying, well, now if you really just believe, then you won't get sick and you won't die and your family won't die and you won't have trouble financially. That's a lie from the devil, brethren. It'll destroy your faith when you believe false doctrines, because false doctrines will destroy your faith. You need to believe the truth of God's Word that we're going to have to go through fiery trials. Our nation is going to go through some fiery judgments. Now, we're going to try to get to the difference in fiery judgments and fiery trials. The same thing that can be a fiery judgment in one person's life can be a fiery trial in someone else's life. Look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. We're talking about laborers. We're laborers. We tried to study this morning about the importance of us serving the Lord. Do you love God? Do you love Jesus? Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. Serve God. Labor together. Be laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, he says, "For we are laborers together with God." Now, who's writing this epistle here? Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the church of God at Corinth, and he says to the saints of God, he says, "We are laborers together with God." Are you laboring? Are you laboring? I'm sure everybody's working, but are you laboring together with God? Are you laboring in the Lord's service? Are you laboring in the field that God would have you to be laboring in? We are laborers, Paul said. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, are you supposed to be? Who is the foundation? Again, let me ask you, who is the foundation? Jesus Christ, He is the foundation. That's what Paul preached. He says, "I came and I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He laid the foundation. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Judge. He's our all in all. And so the foundation is Jesus Christ. And then we come and we build on that foundation. Now as we build, sometimes we build, and the labors that we do and the building that we do, sometimes it's gold and silver and precious stones that we build on that foundation. And sometimes when we build on that foundation, instead of building gold and silver and precious stones, sometimes we build wood and hay and stubble. I think probably everybody in this building have built some of each on that foundation. And he says, now we build on that foundation, Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 12, now if any man build on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Brethren, Jesus judges the works of God's people while they live here in this world. And if our works are not on the foundation, they're of no value. But even if you build on that solid foundation, if you're building the wrong kind of building, if you're doing things that God's Word doesn't teach you to do, if you're doing things for the wrong purpose, you're building wood, hay, and stubble. And he says here, the fire is going to come to manifest and show what kind of works you've built. What happens when the fire comes and your works have been wood, hay, and stubble? What happens to your works? They're destroyed. You see that they're of no value whatsoever. They're burned up. But what if you have been building gold and silver and precious stone and the fire comes? It doesn't destroy the gold and silver and precious stones. It does destroy the wood, hay, and stubble. So he says, the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If you build gold and silver and precious stone... Now let me back up a minute. I mentioned that some people are building gold and silver and precious stone, and some people are building wood, hay, and stubble, but I didn't mention some people aren't building at all. Did you know that? Some people aren't building at all. Some people aren't even pretending to labor in service to God. But I'm talking about of those that are laboring, some build one thing and some build another. But the fire is going to come and try every one of our works of what sort it is. And if your works remain when the fire comes, you will receive a reward. And that's not talking about you're going to get to go to heaven when you die if your works have been good. It's not talking about you getting some big crown in eternal heaven if your works have been good. It's talking about the reward of having intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says that when we work and we labor, and we do that that's right in His sight, He says, I'll come in and I'll sup with you, and you'll come in and sup with me. You can have fellowship with God in the kingdom of heaven if your works remain when it's been tried by the fire. But if your works don't remain, now the verse 14 says, if your work does remain, if it does abide, you'll receive a reward. Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Is it a terrible thing to work and labor? And how many of you remember as a child, I do remember many times, even when my children were young, going to the beach and building sandcastles. Any of you remember building sandcastles? I remember the first time that I can remember building a sandcastle, and we worked so hard, me and Julie and Mom and Daddy, and we worked and we built these sandcastles, and we put a wall around it, see? We put a wall around that castle. Well, what was the wall? What do you think the wall was made out of? Made out of sand. And we built that castle and we built that wall around that castle. And I thought the castle was secure. And I went out there the next morning. It was gone, 100% gone. Nothing was left. It was just flat sand. The tide had come in. It had washed the wall down. It had washed the castle down. And there was nothing left. And I cried. Brethren, sometimes when we work and we labor, sometimes we're going to realize what we were doing was not really pleasing to God. And the work is going to just be like that sandcastle. It's just going to be brought to nothing. And we're going to weep. And we're going to suffer loss. I'm talking about something a lot more serious than just losing a little sandcastle. Just trying to draw an illustration. I've watched children of God that worked all their life. I've watched preachers. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. I've watched preachers that all their life, they were working, they were playing church, but they were not being faithful in preaching the whole counsel of God's Word, and I've watched their little castle go down, go down, go down. And they suffered loss. Now here's the amazing thing. Look again at verse 15. Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Is there a deliverance that comes to the people of God when Christ comes and judges them with fire? Is there a deliverance that comes? Yes, there is. Now, I wish we had all night, and I'd preach about the fire that's just to destroy, but the fire we're talking about right now is fire that does do some, it's a purifying, that's what I wanted to say, thank you Sister Jane. It's a purifying fire. The purpose and intent of the fire in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is not a fire that's a fiery judgment that is just to destroy. It is a fiery judgment, but it is a fiery judgment that is a purification process that then results in the child of God beginning to repent and recognize what I have been doing is not acceptable to God. And they turn around and they begin to serve God in a more acceptable way. They're saved. What are they saved by? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, what are they saved by? They're saved by what? Saved by fire? Yes, saved by fire. You ever had God blow on your little house? Jesus used the same kind of illustration in Matthew chapter 7. A wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Same illustration as what we have right here. And what happened to the foolish man? His house fell, and great was the fall of it. Fiery trials come in our lives. Jesus has the ability to send a refiner's fire that will burn away the dross in our lives. Actually, the refiner's fire does two things. It does burn away the dross, but it also, there's two things that fire does when you purify gold with fire. One thing is you burn away the dross. The second thing is you make the gold pliable and you're able to form things with that, make jewelry with it. So you can make things that are beautiful when you take that fire and you burn away the dross. That's part of the process, but you also then are able to make something that's beautiful and form that gold into something that can be of great use. Same thing's true in the lives of the people of God. The fiery trials, the fiery tribulations, the fiery judgments that God sends in our lives, they often make the dross be burned up, but it also makes us pliable, doesn't it? Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. Back up to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, listen please to, this is, turn to Matthew and just back up three pages. Malachi chapter 3, listen please. Malachi chapter 3, listen to verses 2 and 3. Fire, fire. Are churches sometimes judged by fire? Are whole churches judged by fire? Can a whole nation be judged by fire and have fiery judgments? Indeed it can. Will there be some things that remain? Yes, there will. Will there be much that is burned away in a fiery judgment on a nation? Absolutely. Malachi chapter 3, listen please to verses 2 and 3. Malachi chapter 3, we'll close. Well, we want to go to one other scripture. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, the Word of God says, but who, he's talking about the coming of Christ, if you go home and study verse 1. In verse 2 he says, but who may abide the day of His coming? This is the coming of Christ. And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Who is like a refiner's fire? Jesus Christ is like a refiner's fire. Verse 3 says, and He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. What has to happen before they can offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness? They first have to be purged by this refiner's fire. Go with me in closing. Back up just one more page. We'll close right here in Zechariah chapter 13. And I want you to see here in Zechariah 13 verses 7 through 9, actually you're going to see two different fires. One is a destructive fire. It's a fiery judgment. A fiery judgment that's it. It's all over. Does God sometimes do that in the lives of His people? Just send a fiery judgment. And it's not to purify. It is a fiery judgment to end that individual. Zechariah chapter 13 and verses 7 through 9, you're going to see two different kinds of judgment here. Zechariah chapter 13, verses beginning in verse 7, the Word of God says, "Awake, O sword!" This is God calling for the sword to wake up. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die." You know what this is a prophecy about? What is this a prophecy about? It's a prophecy about the judgment of God upon the Jewish nation. And it says two parts are going to be cut off and die. They were going to perish. They were going to be destroyed. But the third shall be left therein. Now, isn't that going to be a wonderful thing? Well, listen, brethren. Those that were left suffered also. He said, "The third part shall be left therein." Verse 9 says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire." Who's going to bring them through that fire? Are they going to have to go through the fire? Yes, they are. But who's going to bring them through the fire? God is. "And I'll bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined." Have you ever been burned by God? Have you ever been through the refiner's fire? Have you ever had fire come and purge away the dross in your life? Have you ever had God come and take things away from you? He does that to me periodically in my life. Just burns it away. It's all gone. And I think, oh boy, I won't ever get attached to stuff like that again. And before I know it, I get a little here and a little there, and I get more attached, and He just sends another fire, burns it away again. I suffer loss because I've been holding on to things I didn't need to have. I wouldn't have to suffer like that if I would just concentrate on holding on to the Lord instead of holding on to the world. So He says, "I'll bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." When are they going to say that? After they've come through what? After they've come through the fire. Brethren, I hope and pray that God will help us tonight to know that we need to exercise our faith every day. Our faith needs to be stronger. We need to do everything we can to become so close to God, so close to Jesus Christ, that we have total confidence in Him no matter what happens, no matter what the temptations, no matter how heavy the temptations and the manifold distresses that might come in our lives. We need to pray, "God, give me the faith to trust in You no matter what comes in my life." May God help us to be strong in faith. Don't you love that woman that had that good attitude? Strong in faith. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.